The address, 30 East Livingston Street, Tryon, North Carolina, is a long way from the sound that came from that until now little-known birthplace.
My skin is black. My arms are long.
Eunice Kathleen Wayman was a strong, happy girl growing up in the community of Tryon on the edge of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
My hair is woolly. My back is strong.
Her community recognized her talent early on, and they paid for her to take piano lessons and to go to a private high school. But it can be argued that the advantages she got in her career made her a fighter for justice in the Deep South later in her music, when she became the legendary Nina Simone, a voice straight out of history, art, and the civil rights movement.
Don't tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. Keep on saying, go slow.
Nina Simone's home returned to the market in December of 2016, partially restored and seeking new ownership for a list price of $95,000. That's when New York artist Adam Pendleton, artist Rasheed Johnson, Ellen Gallagher, and Julie Moretu purchased the house still haunted by the spirit of Simone, her many siblings, and proud parents. Pendleton says the purchase is part of a process of recovery and reclamation of America's racial history.
I think for us there was a kind of symbolic value to four artists stepping forward and saying we're going to support and preserve the legacy of an artist like Nina Simone.
When you say Nina Simone is an artist, how does that distinguish her from a protest singer or a pop singer or, you know, someone else who she came up with at a very controversial time in entertainment in the United States?
Well, I think that's exactly what is interesting about Nina Simone is she's all those things. She's a soul singer, a jazz singer, an R&B singer. She's a civil rights icon. And I think it's the confluence of those things that makes her a particularly powerful example of all the things an artist can be in the world.
How does the house itself reflect anything you knew about Nina Simone before you visited it?
You know, I went to see the house in February, in mid-February, actually, with the writer Randy Kennedy from the New York Times. And I kept saying to Randy, you know, this is a real adventure because I had not seen the home before. But at that point, there was no turning back. We had purchased the house by the time.
Sight unseen.
Sight unseen.
No kidding.
Yes. I think, you know, we had really only seen pictures of the home on the internet and gathered information from the broker, Cindy. But outside of that, we had not physically seen the home. And so seeing it for the first time, flying down to Charlotte and then driving about 90 minutes to Tryon was, you know, exciting to say the least. And when you pull up to the home, it's on a hill and it really does look like something from the past. And if you stand on the porch, you can see the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains are in your view. And it felt like the real deal, that it was significant.
What's your first step? Where do you start?
I think the first step is to, for me at least, and I think for all four of us involved, is to really establish a list of questions. What is a monument? How do you reanimate the past? What is the significance of Nina Simone today? How can this home figure into the local and national consciousness? And I think there are many questions beyond that. And I think we'll try to come up with creative solutions and answers to those questions that reactivate the site so that it doesn't become a dead place, a dead site, simply a dead monument, but it becomes something where people can actively reflect on the period that Nina Simone is primarily known for and figures importantly into American history.
And she provided her own oral history with so much spoken word.
Yes, indeed.
And music and all the concert performances. Yes. And everything that's out there. So you've got that going for you. And then I suspect looking through the windows and seeing the Blue Ridge Mountains must have been something that she, as a little girl, was inspired by and took with her out of that community.
Yes, one can only imagine. So this home was actually the second home the Waymans had in Tryon. And Tryon figured importantly in Nina's life. It's where she began to play piano. There was community support for her to study piano. When she went to high school, she went to Asheville, North Carolina, which is about, I would say, 40, 50 minutes from Tryon. So North Carolina really did shape her in many ways. In 1950, she left and studied at the Juilliard School of Music in New York. And that fascinates me. What was it like going from a small town like Tryon and moving to Harlem in 1950?
How is this similar to your art work, the kinds of work that you do that your own fans see?
You know, I, as an artist, am always turning towards past moments, figures, and trying to put them in relationship to things that they might not always be considered to have anything to do with. For example, I'll look at someone like W.E.B. Du Bois and Jean-Luc Godard at the same moment. Or I'll consider someone like Gertrude Stein and Stokely Carmichael. And I'm interested in what these sort of radical juxtapositions, what they create, what kind of dynamic they give life to. And I think that's something that I'll do with Nina Simone as well. I think it will be interesting to put, to make unlikely pairings or look at things that aren't considered in relationship to her, like, say, conceptual art, which also came about during the civil rights movement as well. So I think there are many unlikely things that can be, you know, sort of brought to bear on this situation.
And to really restore Nina Simone beyond simply a an archive of music, but as a living artistic figure.
Absolutely.
In real work.
Yes, you know, I think there's kind of a resurgence of interest in Nina Simone generally. It was only last year in 2016 that she won a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. And I think her music, particularly what one could term her protest anthems from To Be Young, Gifted, and Black to Old Jim Crow to Four Women, they resonate as a, I think as a country we grapple with, you know, what are civil rights today? What civil rights are on the line today, you know?
Well, Adam Pendleton, good luck. And it's a great project. And we share a love of Nina Simone, that's for sure. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
New York-based artist Adam Pendleton is one of the four who purchased Nina Simone's home in Tryon, North Carolina.
Breaking rocks out here on the chain. Breaking rocks and serving my time. Breaking rocks out here on the chain, 'cause I've been convicted of crime. I hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. I'm working, I'm working, but I still got so terribly far to go. Committed crime, Lord, I need crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store man breathing when he caught me robbing his store. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working, I'm working, but I still got so terribly far to go.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.